grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 5 is a genealogy that takes us from Adam at the beginning of the world all the way through to the flood of Noah. And in the middle of that genealogy, there are, by the way, 10 genealogical steps from Adam to Noah. In the middle of it, the number 7 of the great patriarchs of old, it says in verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, of nobody else in that entire genealogy does it say anything like this. Doesn't say that they walked with God, nor does it say that they were not, for God took him. What is the text saying? It's simply saying that Enoch was a particularly believing, devout child of God, and purely by the grace of God, and purely as a gift of God, at a certain point in Enoch's life, he simply was taken alive up to heaven. And he was not, for God took him. That is, nobody found his body, because he was taken up bodily from the earth into heaven to be with the Lord in paradise. All right. We go from there to Hebrews chapter 11. In the book of Hebrews, we learn a little bit more about Enoch. And it says in verse 5, Hebrews 11, verse 5, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." All right, so Enoch, we learn here in Hebrews chapter 11, he is an example of the faith of the Christian. And his faith made him acceptable to God, and he pleased God. And so Enoch's translation into heaven without death is a sign and a type of what will happen on the last day when Jesus returns to judge the quick and the dead. "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain at the time shall have the same experience that Enoch had. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." All right. So, and in the book of Jude, I won't take you there or read it, but I will just tell you that in the little book of Jude, which is before the book of Revelation, we learn that Enoch, during his life, testified and prophesied concerning Christ's glorious coming. So he was also a prophet. Now, that leads us to our epistle text for today, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The word of God about Christ's coming gives us hope and comfort in our trials. Paul had his missionary journey in the city of Thessalonica cut short by persecution. He was forced to flee and to go elsewhere. And so he didn't have enough time to really get the Thessalonian new believers settled in and fully instructed. Their full instruction had to await a later time. And so, after a certain period goes by, Paul discovers that these young Thessalonian Christians are having a number of challenges and troubles in their life together as Christians. And one of those troubles that they are having, one is persecution from the community that they live in, and the other is that some of these new believers have had family members, fellow Christians, die. And they were worried, because they weren't fully instructed, they were worried that maybe their Christian loved ones had missed the resurrection of the dead because they had died before the second coming of Christ. And so they were mournful and grieving because they thought that their blessed fellow Christian loved ones, by dying, had missed the party. And they were terribly upset by this. So Paul, he writes to them, and he wants to encourage them by sweeping away their ignorance and replacing it with divine knowledge of the Word of God, so that these Thessalonians will not grieve in hopelessness, but will take comfort in the Word of God. And that's really where this touches us. We know that our departed loved ones haven't missed out on anything by dying. We know that there will be a great reunion. But we have many troubles and trials of life. And sometimes we forget the surpassing glory and comfort of this divine revelation that is given to us here. And to consider it for a few moments, what is it that St. Paul is telling us from the Word of God concerning the last day? All right, and let's take a look at that under three headings. Number one, St. Paul tells us here that Christ's death and resurrection is our guarantee of the resurrection of our bodies. Now, it's surprising that the Thessalonians didn't put two and two together. After all, they were taught that Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, and they were taught that he rose again from the dead. So it's curious that they did not say, you know, Jesus died and he didn't miss out on anything. He rose from the dead on the third day. Maybe Jesus is the paradigm that we need to be paying attention to. He died and he rose again from the dead. So maybe those who die in Christ, those who sleep, have not perished, but in fact will be raised from the dead as Jesus was. And the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 says this, because I live, ye shall live also. So in our text here, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So, the death and resurrection of Christ is the pattern of our resurrection. And those who sleep in Jesus, that is, those who are now have deceased, and their souls are with Christ in paradise, but their bodies sleep in the earth. On the last day, they will be with Jesus when he comes back to raise the dead. And so, the dead in Christ miss out on nothing whatsoever. Right? So the first thing that we learn is that our hope of the resurrection of the dead is completely connected to Jesus who died and who rose again from the dead. And Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. This is very comforting because every true Christian believes that Jesus died and rose again. So it is particularly comforting to know that what happened to Jesus is also true of every Christian. We will rise again. And those who die in Christ will not miss out on anything. That's number one. Number two, the resurrection of the body on the last day is described for us. Alright? We say in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. It is described for us here in verse 15 and following. Listen to what it says. St. Paul says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So it's not wishful thinking. It's not some kind of fairy tale that we tell ourselves in order to deceive ourselves into false comfort. But this is the word of the Lord. And it says this, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that is, those of us who are living on the earth at the time of the second coming. All right? We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. In other words, we will not outrun them and leave them in the dust. All right? The focus is not primarily on those who are alive and remain when the second coming takes place. But the focus is on the fact that the dead in Christ, those who sleep in Jesus, will rise first. All right, now, let me tell you about this word, sleep in Jesus. It's not a euphemism. You know, sometimes we use euphemisms to avoid unpleasant subjects. And so Paul is not avoiding the subject of death, because for a Christian, the subject of death has been filled with faith so that we are not afraid to talk about it or think about it. The reason why St. Paul refers to the death of the Christian as sleeping is because he wants to accentuate the fact that it is a temporary condition. When you go to sleep, you wake up 99.9% of the time. All right? But when you're sleeping, you're going to wake up. And that's the point that Paul is emphasizing here. A Christian who dies in Christ will awaken. And so their death, in that sense, is like a sleep. All right? And so that's the theological content of calling the Christian's death a sleep. Now, the death of an unbeliever is never called a sleep. Because when a person dies outside of the grace of God, they are in hell forever. Right? And the only respite they have is the day of judgment, which ends in them being cast into the lake of fire. Right? So we don't talk about the death of unbelievers and say they are sleeping in Christ. We only talk about Christians, believers in Christ, as those who sleep in Jesus. But it says here in verse 15 that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, we will not outpace those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, that is Jesus Christ, the glorified, risen Son of God, who now sits at God's right hand and rules all things until he has put all his enemies under his feet, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now this is referred to in John chapter 5 when Jesus himself tells us that the days are coming, or the time is coming, when the dead, those that are in the graves, shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth, some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. All right? So those who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. And that's what this shout is. The Lord will be visibly seen by everyone on earth all at once. All right? And he will shout. And when he shouts, the archangel Michael will blow the trumpet of God. Now, those of you who have read parts of the Old Testament know that when God came down onto Mount Sinai to reveal his law, there was this overwhelming, continual blast of a trumpet. And this continual, loud blasting of a trumpet going louder and louder and louder. And then finally, the voice of God himself recites the Ten Commandments as he inscribes them with his own finger on two tables of stone. So the trumpet of God is sounded by Michael the archangel to testify that God has shown up on the scene and that now is the day of judgment. And so Jesus himself comes with a shout, followed by Michael the archangel blowing the trumpet of God. And when this happens, the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is, the bodies of all those who have died in the true faith will come out of the graves, transformed, alive and glorified, and reunited with the souls who have been enjoying paradise. And these will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And not only that, but we which are alive and remain, we who are on the earth and living at the time, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds. We will join them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, what happens on the last day? Number one, Jesus appears in glory physically and visibly for everyone to see. He shouts the command that raises the dead. And the archangel blows the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then those who are living on the earth are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And this is what will take place with respect to God's children. Now, there are other passages that deal with the resurrection of the dead in general. Here, Paul is just focusing on what happens to Christian believers, the ones who have died and the ones who are alive at the time. So he's only talking about them in this passage, and he's saying that they will be risen from the dead bodily on the last day. And we who are alive won't even die. We will simply be translated alive to the presence of Jesus. So, the first fact is that Christ's death and resurrection is the guarantee of ours. The second is, we now know from the Word of God exactly what will happen on the last day. Jesus will come back and everyone will know that He is the Son of God, He is the Messiah, and that we Christians were His people as we are now consummated in the presence of Jesus. There's a third thing here. And the third thing is this. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right? And that's the third thing. The second coming of Christ will be a great, glorious and permanent reunion. We will be reunited with Jesus, all of us. And we will be reunited in the presence of Jesus with all of our loved ones, so that all those whom we have wept over and said goodbye to in this life, who have died in the faith, we will see them again. We will join them in hymns of praise. We will together surround the Lord of glory, and He will keep us with Himself forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So, what is our comfort? Our comfort is that the death and resurrection of Christ is the guarantee of our resurrection. That the Lord Himself will descend, and that the dead will be raised, and that we who are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. All right, the facts of the second coming. And then finally, the great and permanent reunion with Jesus and with all those who are members of the communion of the saints. And what a glorious and permanent day that will be. And so Paul closes, and I will close, with his word of encouragement to the Thessalonians. He says, wherefore, after he says all that, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, God has an overwhelming comfort for you and me. When we are faced with our mortality, we have something that has broken the bonds of death and guaranteed us life everlasting. And it's all about the grace of God in Jesus. Comfort one another with these words. Amen.